Miracles are everywhere.
Let our adventure begin!
Discover PureFlix, your premium streaming service where faith and family values come home.
Ready to have some fun?
The most exclusive selection of quality, wholesome movies and series that will uplift your spirit.
A man can argue whether God exists, but when he looks at his daughters, he knows.
With new arrivals every week.
Unbelievable.
Save big and enjoy the possibilities, like invitations to exclusive theatrical screenings.
I see it, so I believe it.
Find out more by joining today at PureFlix.com.
From the Kendrick Brothers, creators of War Room and Fireproof, comes LifeMark.
Always wondered if my biological parents think about me.
Inspired by a true story.
Imagine how scared she must have been. And then the decision to place you for adoption.
Is that your birth mom?
She wants to meet.
Really?
Yeah. She loved you, and I'm so glad that she made the choice that she did.
LifeMark, starring Kirk Cameron and Alex Kendrick. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13. Only in theaters beginning September 9th. For tickets, go to LifeMarkMovie.com.
If it's happening in New York or across the globe, learn why it matters first on Kevin McCullough Radio.
Well, I just promised you an in-studio treat, and lo and behold, I deliver on that promise. Dr. Robert Jeffress is back in New York City, and I have to tell you, even though we are both Texans and we come from the Dallas-Fort Worth area, I claim Fort Worth as home. Both, I think, are Cowboy fans in our heart of hearts. No,
not so much.
Not really? Wow.
Hadn't gotten over Tom Landry's leaving
yet. Well, okay.
Yet.
Okay. We'll give you some grace for that, I guess. I'm not quite sure. But, you know, I have to live Cowboy life up here amongst the Giants fans. It's pretty ruthless up here. So anyway, but we met in New York City. In fact, I remember the day we met. We were doing a little program for Fox News. Do you remember it was on the 5th or the 12th floor, but it was in this back little closet area. It was called the Strategy Room.
Yeah.
They had five people around a panel table, and Eric Bolling was sitting in the center. They later patterned the show The Five off of this thing, but you and I were on the same panel one day. And
that's right.
We went back behind this little tiny area where they gave us to sit as a green room. I mean, it was literally like 2.5 feet wide, looking out a window that was looking at a brick wall. And we became fast friends. And, of course, Dr. Robert Jeffress is the senior pastor at First Baptist Church in Dallas. And you hear him, if you're in New York, you hear him every weekday morning on AM 570 and 102.3 FM, The Mission, WMCA. And just about every time he has a new book out, he comes on by and pays a visit to us. So, Dr. Jeffress, it's an honor to have you back.
Great to be back live with Kevin McCullough.
18 Minutes with Jesus is the name of the book. And, man, if that's not the best title of a book released in America this year, but I want to know, what are we really dealing with here?
Well, I did not die and go to heaven and spend 18 minutes with Jesus and come and back and talk about
he
it.
He didn't come back and just make an appointment with you on a Thursday?
No. But really, this came about because of the rage, which are known as TED Talks right now. But the key is it can only be 18 minutes. I started thinking one day, what if Jesus were to come back and give a TED Talk? Hmm. What would he say? What would he address? And then it hit me. He's already given his TED Talk. It's called The Sermon on the Mount. You can read the Sermon on the Mount in 18 minutes.
Is that right?
And yet, even though it's brief, it contains topics that we care about the most. It's not about what Jesus is interested in. It's what we're interested in. It's straight talk about your money, your finances, your prayer life, how to deal with your enemies. It's not just for the hereafter. It's for the here and now. And so I wrote this book, The Sermon on the Mount, as a fresh look on a 2,000-year-old sermon and what it means for us today.
Now, are you sure you timed it in Hebrew or Aramaic? Because I'm not sure if English cuts it in the original.
Well, I think Hebrew may go a little faster. Okay. 16 minutes with Jesus.
Fair enough. And they allow for that in their version of the TED Talk. Well, I think this is really practical, Dr. J, because there's a lot of people that think of, when they think of Jesus or they think of the church in particular, they think of, you know, kind of esoteric spirituality that's kind of beyond or heavy burden of obedience and commitment, and I can never live up to these things. And there's all of those types of things. When they get into the Bible with a really genuinely open heart, they begin to see that Jesus did care about the practical things of life, and his sermon best illustrates that. So what were some of the things that you unpacked here?
Well, let me just say, there are a lot of our listeners right now who may actually have avoided the Sermon on the Mount, just like I did. Because
did
I
you
thought
really?
It was, I've not preached in 40 years on the Sermon on the Mount.
Well, that would have made you like 8.
So. Yeah, I wish that were true. But the reason is, it's part of what I got in the seminary. I was taught in the strict dispensation traditional premillennialism, that the Sermon on the Mount has nothing to do with today. It's the constitution for the kingdom of God, for the millennium and heaven. And I accepted that. So I said, well, I don't want to spend time reading this right now. And then it hit me one day as I was reading through, I was actually looking at it, and I said, wait a minute. Jesus said, if somebody slaps you on the cheek, you're to turn the other cheek. Who's going to be slapping whom in the millennium
in heaven?
Or love your enemies. What if evil is gone in the hereafter, who will our enemies be? No, this isn't about the hereafter. It's about the here and now. And the theme of the Sermon on the Mount is very clear. Those who model their attitudes, actions, and affections after Jesus Christ can experience unwavering joy in this life and unending happiness in the next life.
Wow, that's, you know, that is so important. And I think when you're talking about the things that people are facing right now, those are two things that they don't have a promise of those anywhere.
No. And a lot of people, you know, the preamble to this sermon where the Jesus kind of gives you the payoff early on of what you're going to get if you follow these words. We call them the Beatitudes.
Right.
Blessed, blessed, blessed. Well, that word blessed, Makarios in Greek, some people translate happy. Happy are those who do these things. That's a superficial understanding. Happiness depends upon happenings, our circumstances. I doubt the people in Florida right now are very happy Christians about their circumstances, but they can remain joyful. They can know that God is still in control and working out a plan.
Well, and I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but if we're living as believers in kind of the life that we are supposed to be living, that our joy in bad circumstances is intended to show a witness to other people about why we have such a thing, that there is an answer within us that gives us this joy that others don't have when their life is bad. And it's almost a miraculous way of saying, hey, I've got something I want to share it with you. Do you want to know what is the source of my joy? What did you personally find most eye-opening about preaching and then writing the Sermon on the Mount series? Since you hadn't done it in 40 years,
yeah.
What was the most moving thing to you personally?
You know, Kevin, I hate to admit this again, but we all carry around the stereotype image of Jesus as being this wimpy rabbi who walked around the hillside munching on birdseed and saying nice things to people. I mean, that's really what we think
true,
of Jesus. But if you read the Sermon on the Mount, there's nothing wimpy about it. It's what I call radical righteousness. What Jesus was saying was radical about money, about religious performance, about sex, all of these things. You know, Jesus said, for example, you know, the Pharisees said, and the Old Testament said, you shall not commit adultery. As long as you don't actually commit an act of adultery, you're okay. But I say to you, anybody who lusts after another person has committed adultery. Jesus said that not to restrict our happiness. He's saying God invented sex. He knows how it operates best. It operates best from a pure heart. And I think that's what we have to understand. These commandments in the Sermon on the Mount are not like wearing a hair shirt to make us miserable all the time. They're to enhance our happiness in life.
Well, finding real joy and only doing it through Jesus is one of the best aspects of what the gospel offers. And I'm so grateful for your new work, 18 Minutes with Jesus, straight talk from the Savior about the things that matter most. Dr. Robert Jeffress, always appreciate you taking the time to be with us.
Great to be with you, Kevin.
Good to see you in studio again. And I'm sorry that you haven't found a more enlightened approach to your football fannery, but we'll work with that in the days to come. All right, Kevin McCullough, my final thoughts straight ahead.